we are back with David Borton and Equality Under the Law, Practical Physics. Welcome back, David.
Well, good to be back. Nice sunny day out there. It's cold, though.
Cold, but beautiful. Yeah, sun streaming in. Well, look at us looking at the sun. It seems to be the motif.
Yeah, solar energy. And you wanted to talk about radio waves and how they're related.
Yes, please. So what would be the first point you would bring up in connecting solar energy to radio waves?
Well, before we do that, let's go out in the playground.
Remember? Oh, cool.
Remember we were out there shooting baskets a while back?
We got through it.
Yeah, and you went swish. So
we learned Newton's two laws, right? Three laws.
Right.
The first being that an object in motion stays in motion and an object at rest tends to stay at rest.
Good.
The second one being that force changes acceleration. And the third, dun, 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 oh.
Well, that if there's an action, a force in one direction, there's an equal and opposite.
Force in another direction?
In the opposite direction.
Opposite direction.
Okay. Good. All right, so let's not play basketball. Let's play on the swings.
Oh, that's up my alley.
Okay, so how do swings work?
Well, some kids pump their feet to keep going higher and higher once they get that initial push. A human being sits in a swing, and then another human being pushes that human.
Okay, let's just start with a person sitting at the bottom, okay? They get on.
Okay.
And then now then one of us pushes the other one up for a while, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you're pushing somebody up like that, what are you doing?
Using strength, using force.
Right. And when you use force, what's the word that we call it? Okay. You lift the person from down here. They come up here on the swing, right?
Okay.
And what does that do to their energy?
First, they have potential energy. Well, you've pushed them.
Right.
So the force of the push causes the person to fly through the air.
Okay. I want to make it a little more simple. Okay. So you're sitting there, and I don't push for very hard or very long. I just push and hold you up here. You're now up here before I let go. So mm-hmm. What have I given you?
Potential energy.
Good. Okay. So now if I let go, what do?
I have kinetic energy.
Right.
You're gaining speed as
right,
you come down.
Right. That's Newton's mm-hmm. second law. So, okay, now you come back to where we started.
Okay.
And when we started, do you still have any potential energy?
No.
Okay, so you're all kinetic energy, right?
Okay.
If I don't get there and stop you and run into you, what do you do?
There's potential energy. Kinetic.
You keep swinging, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you go past where you started and you swing up the other side.
Okay.
And so your kinetic energy changes back into?
Potential.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it swings back down, potential to kinetic, kinetic to?
Potential.
And back and forth, right? And what do you think about the total energy, the whole system?
It's a contained energy system, right?
Right. So if it's contained, energy is conserved.
Oh, right. Okay. We have a conservation of energy within that contained pendulum swing world.
Oh, good. Just exactly right. So conservation of energy is a really big thing in the world. In a swing, there's a little bit of resistance from the air, and that would be a force. And a force does what? Newton's second law.
Well, doesn't it either accelerate or slow us down?
Okay. In this case, it's not going to accelerate us. It's going to...
The air pressure will slow us down, or air resistance specifically.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the person sitting on the swing will slowly wind down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that energy is just being changed into heat, so the energy is conserved on a bigger system.
Okay.
Okay. Now then, what are you pushing? What am I? If I'm pushing you on the swing and I'm lifting you up, what am I lifting you up against?
Gravity.
Gravity. Exactly. Okay. We call it in physics a gravitational field. Talked a little while back about the way light works in a field. It's gravitational field is sort of like that. What can you remember about that?
And the way that the flame emits photons and the photons eventually travel from the center of the flame itself back up to the stars.
It goes out in all directions, and that's the way the gravitational field is. There's a gravitational field attracting you to the center of the Earth. There's a gravitational field holding the Earth in orbit around the sun. There's a gravitational field from the Earth that keeps the moon going around. So gravitational fields all around. All masses have gravitational fields. So we got conservation, we got fields. Let's talk about magnetism.
Sure. Before we go into magnetism, though, could you just give us one other concrete example from the world of a contained energy system and the law of conservation within that contained energy system.
Wow.
How about a solar boat? A solar boat, right?
Well, the nice thing about a solar boat is that the system is very large because it includes the sun's energy coming into the boat. So that there's always, in the daytime anyway, solar energy being brought into the boat. So the system is pretty big, right? But if you look at the system including the sun and the earth, then yes, it's all contained.
Okay, thank you for thinking about that. So you wanted to talk about magnetism, though.
Well, magnetism is a field. Have you experienced two magnets and how they work together?
Sure.
Tell me about it.
Put the same poles up against one another, they repel one another. If you put the opposite poles to each other, there's that automatic snapping attraction there.
Right. And we call those attractions and repulsions...
good times.
We were using the word force in Newton's laws, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So these forces and the magnets have around them a...
field. Yeah, magnetic field.
Mm-hmm. Magnetic. Okay. Now, have you ever walked across a rug in the winter and then touched a piece of metal?
Yes.
And what happens?
Gazap.
Gazap. Exactly. As you walk across the rug, you generate an electric charge on your body, and so you generate an electric...
well, your own electric field.
Your own electric field, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And that electric field, when it's discharged to something, causes a gazap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you ever seen outdoors, when we're on the playground, a great big zap?
Yes.
What is that?
Lightning.
Lightning, exactly right.
So is that the atmosphere accumulating electric energy and then centralizing it, and it comes into contact with electric energy on the surface of the Earth?
That's pretty close to the way physicists would describe it. Not exactly, but yes. So the electric charge builds up.
Did you hear that, folks? Pretty close to the way a physicist would describe it. I'm going to hold on to that little comment. Keep that with me through 2018.
Okay, so you've generated this electric field, and lightning generates an electric field. And just when you got close to the metal, the electric field broke down and there was a spark. The electric field breaks down, and that's called lightning. And so the lightning is the spark when the electric field breaks down.
Oh, cool.
And it neutralizes the charge.
So it's two similarly charged electric fields meeting one another.
Well,
when the lightning
field
becomes a spark, or when you actually see a spark of static electricity on the rug.
Yeah, it's a positive field attracted to a negative field, and the current flows between them, and the current is the spark.
Oh, okay, cool. Now, how is that current and the spark related then to magnetic fields? They work in similar ways?
Okay, well...
electric and magnetic fields work in similar ways?
Yes, think of them as fields, okay? There's an electric field just like there's a magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
In the swing, we had what kind of energy going into what kind of energy?
Kinetic, moving into potential, kinetic, potential, kinetic, potential, a pendulum.
Yes, exactly right. In electricity, the same thing happens. The electric energy can go to magnetic energy, and the magnetic energy can go back to electric. So it moves back and forth. The field, the electric field grows, and then it starts to get smaller. As it starts to get smaller, the magnetic field grows. So okay. It's similar to a pendulum in that case.
Can you describe with the lightning the movement between electric and magnetic? Or is that difficult? Is there another concrete example that you could give us?
A whole variety of things, like Ampere's law. So Ampere's law talks about the fact that when the lightning flows, the current flows, that flow of electricity makes a magnetic field.
Okay.
Magnetic field can move and it can make an electric field. Take my word for it that the electric energy and the magnetic energy go back and forth the way in a pendulum the gravitational energy and the kinetic energy goes back and forth. Yeah, vectors are cool. In a gravitational field, there's a vector because the gravity always goes in a certain direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a magnetic field, there's a vector because it's in directions. Have you ever seen a magnetic field?
Quickly define vector, though, for any listening audience that doesn't know a vector.
Okay, a vector is something that has a magnitude and a direction.
Okay.
So, 10 pencils tells you how many pencils, okay? But something like a force of 10 pounds, the force has a direction as well as the magnitude.
Cool. We'll have to have another whole segment on vectors and parabolas. It's my dream to have a segment with you on parabolas.
All right, let's do
if
it.
If that's okay.
Yeah, okay. But let's stick with this magnetic field going to electric and back, okay? That has a name, and the name is photon.
Oh, boy. I love when things come together.
Yeah, okay.
Because now we have a direct connection to last week's discussion.
Right. And right now, my hand is receiving some photons from my favorite source of energy, which is...
the sun!
Yes, okay. Mm-hmm. So photons from the sun are my favorite photons, but you're a radio person, so what are your favorite photons?
I would say it's a tie between the sun and radio waves.
Okay, what particular radio waves are you liking right now?
I'm really digging ultraviolet. I'm not supposed to say that, though. You want me to say that I'm digging the megahertz of 105.3 FM Troy WOOC, right?
And give that a number.
105.3, right?
105.3 megahertz, right.
Okay.
Now, what do you know about the light that is shining on us? What about the megahertz of that?
The light that is streaming into the studio shining on us? You mean the solar light?
Yeah, right.
How do we label that? How do we number it?
Well, the frequency of that is like 10 to the 15th, whereas megahertz, what is mega?
Well, it sounds like a lot.
Mega is 10 to the 6th, and 10 to the 15th is like 10 to the 9th more.
Uh-huh.
So the light coming in has a much higher frequency than the light that's going out as these radio waves.
Can you repeat that? The light coming in has a much higher frequency.
Yeah. The light of the sun is a much, much higher frequency photon than the frequency of the radio waves leaving here, actually leaving from my house, here to my house as an electric current, and then the radio waves go from there out in all directions.
Hmm.
Like the candle that we had a while back.
Nice.
Okay, so the light, if you put a prism in front of the light, what do you get?
Rainbow.
A rainbow. Okay. Rainbows are great. That's a spectrum of light, a spectrum of photons, a spectrum of electromagnetic radiation.
Okay.
Okay? And now your radio dial has a spectrum of electromagnetic radiation too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there are some of those other radio stations that we don't listen to that are in the radio spectrum, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now if you go a little higher in frequency, what do you get?
X-rays, gamma rays.
That's going to the extreme other end of the spectrum. Mm. Now, what's in between?
Well, infrared and ultraviolet, what we spoke about last week.
Yeah, those are extensions of the visible spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. Ultraviolet is a higher energy, and infrared is a longer wavelength, lower energy.
You might want to shoot me for asking this on the spot, but also, what's the deal with photons and bioluminescence? Are there waves, you know, like creatures that can glow in the ocean, or waves? There are certain beaches, I guess, that are completely bioluminescent.
Wait a minute. Back up. What are you made of? We talked about that
protons,
last time.
Protons, electrons.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. So if there is an electron that is raised to a higher energy level, it will tend to fall down to a lower energy level.
Okay.
And conservation of energy, if it goes from high energy to low energy, something must happen. Some energy has to leave, right?
Right.
Okay, that leaves as a photon.
Oh.
The bioluminescence is when a electron in this, whatever it is that's bioluminescing.
A cuttlefish.
There you go. Okay.
Algae.
Yeah, all those things. An electron falls from a higher energy level to a lower energy level, and it gives off a photon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So that's what's happening in this whole electromagnetic spectrum.
Well, we're just about out of time. Do you have any other words that you want to say about the electromagnetic spectrum? I mean, my dream for 2018 is that we could have an even more extended discussion on the wonder of bioluminescence and parabolas.
All right, let's do that. But let's also recognize that there's the spectrum for your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
There's the spectrum for the microwave oven. There's the spectrum for the heat that comes off of your wood stove.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are photons in the broader electromagnetic spectrum.
Why is it important for us to think about photon emission with our wood stove or somebody right here in the neighborhood cooking a barbecue, lighting a candle?
Well, the simple answer is solar energy, right? Because all life on Earth is sustained by solar energy. So all of these things are related, and the energy source is solar energy.
Well, thank you so much for being here, David. And I can't wait for us to come back with a bioluminescent discussion.
Very illuminating. Thank you.